Welcome to Design for Use's interview series, where we sit down with our team members and get to know a little bit more about their professional backgrounds and their experiences in UX. Today, we are chatting with Brian Pigg, an interaction designer based in the Austin office. Thanks for joining me today, Brian. I know you're super busy designing sites and systems, so I appreciate your taking the time to sit with me and talk a little bit about your interesting background and your transition into user experience.
Glad to be here.
So why don't we start with you talking a little bit about your professional life before you got into UX?
Well, prior to doing UX, I worked in architectural design offices for a number of years, about 10, 12 years. And I had all different sorts of jobs in those offices, everything from the very beginning being primarily an office manager and account support person, and then sort of moving up the rungs from drafting and model building to project management and design. So, you know, prior to doing UX, I was in the design world for several years, but really looking at very different problems than the ones that we typically look at Design for Use.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about your decision to transition to UX. What made you decide to change?
Well, it was a few different factors. The first being that, you know, I'd sort of hit the point in my career in architecture where it was time for me to decide to be all in and to really look at getting licensed and doing this for the rest of my life. And I realized that that's not really what I wanted to do, but that I still wanted to be in the design world. And then the other side of that was realizing that the problems that I really like to solve in architecture were not the kinds of problems that come up in the average project. So for example, a good analogy would be if you're designing a hospital, a lot of what you're trying to figure out is a lot of your problem solving, if you will, is not something that really will carry through to a final design because you're figuring out adjacencies. You're thinking about things that are not going to be evident to users just from looking at photographs, just from thinking about what something looks like. And I was really interested in those kinds of problems, and unfortunately in architectural design, they don't come up very often unless you work in a really specialized office. So the analogy with UX would be to think about task flows and complicated task flows. So, you know, the difference between designing a website for a retirement system or for energy traders as opposed to designing a blog where someone's just throwing up their photographs and writing a couple paragraphs every few weeks.
Okay, great. That's a great analogy. Thanks. So how do you feel about the transition that you made into UX? How did you find that process of transitioning?
Well, you know, the beginning was tough. I think that once you've acquired a certain amount of expertise in what you're doing and a certain amount of confidence, that moving back to square one, which I suppose I didn't move all the way back to square one when moving from architecture to UX, but I certainly did not have the kind of inside knowledge that I still don't to some degree that I enjoy in the architecture world. So there's a lot of learning new lessons and learning how to learn again, if that makes sense. Learning how to question all of your assumptions and to push on yourself to think about fundamentals and not just take them for granted the way that you do with things that you're very well acquainted with and fluent in. So in the beginning, it was a little bit more challenging than it is now, but I think that what I've been able to do during my time here is to really think about the process of learning how to think about new systems that you're not familiar with at all, and the process of self-educating. So if you're moving from a project like Amphora, which you know you worked on some and I worked on some, to some of our HP projects, you know, you're moving from a sort of highly specialized user group to a different highly specialized user group, and learning how to get inside the heads of those people is a really important skill if you're going to be effective in designing tools for them. So I think learning how to do that, learning how to move from broader groups to more acute groups was certainly a difficult thing to do and something that I still work at with every project.
Okay. What about any parallels that you can draw between your previous career as an architect or in architecture and your current career in UX?
Well, I think complex problem solving is the most broad generalized analogy you can make. And what I mean by that is what in architecture would really be figuring out adjacencies in organization. Again, things that are not evident in the final product in terms of what you see, but are extremely important to how something functions. And the same is really true with UX. And I think the difference is that with UX design, you spend a lot of your time doing that, whereas in architectural design, you're only doing it for the first phase of the project. You know, there's a certain point where that stuff gets locked in. But really, the heart of what we do as UX designers, in my opinion, is mapping those adjacencies and making sure that they are intuitive to all the users that are going to be using whatever product it is we're working on.
Okay. And what about kind of the roles that you deal with in architecture versus in UX? You know, you've got in UX, you've got, you know, designers, researchers, analysts, things like that. How does that kind of translate to architecture?
Well, they're different to some degree, but I would say that, and again, I don't think this is specific to either one of those fields, that in my experience, the way that we function as an office and the way a lot of design offices function is someone is responsible primarily for design or project management, or, you know, be it UX design or visual design, but ultimately, at the end of the day, even if a task is not in your primary wheelhouse, if you will, you still end up touching it and having some involvement in things. And I think that kind of cross-pollination between different roles is really important in terms of helping everyone do their job better and as a mechanism for exposing designers to ideas about project management and vice versa. And the same goes for communication between UX design and graphic design in terms of, okay, here are the things that are really important in terms of their visual layout in UX, but could be polished up versus something that is really far more vague and just needs to be really brought up in fidelity a great deal in visual design. So, again, those are two sort of disparate examples. But, yeah, I think that there's cross-pollination between all roles.
Okay. So how would you say your background in architecture has given you maybe a special edge or advantage in UX that maybe others don't have?
Well, I think that the one thing that an architectural education will do for anyone who's interested in design, regardless of what field they're applying it to, is that you really learn that there isn't one solution to a problem and that you really shouldn't stop as soon as you solve something. And what I mean by that is your first working solution is typically not your best. So learning how to iterate and how to be patient and how to understand when you've hit a dead end and you need to take a break from solving one problem and come back to it later. So learning that patience with the process is certainly important. And I think people acquire that from a lot of different means, but in my case, I think particularly as a student, I learned a lot about that.
Great. So one final question. Where would you say you see your career in UX going in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me right now, what I'm most interested in is getting a greater diversity of projects under my belt, and that's one thing I really like about my job right now is, you know, the projects turn over relatively quickly, so every few months you're working on something else, and they're varied enough that I feel like I'm getting really broad experience. So for me right now, my priority is to continue to expand my knowledge, if you will, in terms of the different types of clients that are out there. So we've done work in e-commerce, we've done work you know, sort of enterprise applications, internal kind of internet stuff, and then obviously client-facing stuff as well. So, and along with that, I'd like to do more mobile work, obviously, and specifically doing something for a tablet would be really interesting, I think. So expanding form factors and project types, maybe doing a game at some point, that'd be great.
Ooh, what kind of game?
I don't know, any kind of game, really. There's lots out there. Preferably something that I would actually want to play myself, if that makes sense.
Okay. So what interests you about designing gaming systems?
Well, I think there's a mechanism of, there's a component of anticipating human behavior behind that, and the idea that you're creating an experience that's pleasurable enough that someone is going to want to do this over and over again, you know, during the day for the course of several weeks or months or however long. So learning how to use interaction to kind of press on people's pleasure centers, if you will, I think that's pretty fascinating.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Brian.
Thank you.